Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So this is a little weird. I think you're probably finding it so as well. But I've been doing some of this kind of thing for quite a while, and it's kind of made some connections in my mind. So let me just tell you this about myself so you get some feeling for why I'm doing this. In high school, my whole thing was science. It's all that mattered, math and science and so on. I did a BSc at UBC in math and physics. Everything was cool and terrific, and I intended to go on to be a professor of physics like my friend Arnold and others here. And but I thought, before I do that, I'm just going to take a year to try some of these other things that people at university do, humanities, psychology, whatever, things that I didn't have any taste for at all in high school or university. And so, long story short, I wound up doing a year of theology. And the very first thing there was a course in apologetics, which really started out with discussing epistemology. How do we know anything? How does anybody know anything? How do we get there? What does it mean to get there? Etc., etc. And it was a mind blower from day one. And I realized that everything starts with that question, and every course ought to start with that that question. So from there on, I followed, I pursued biblical studies, and so that's where I've been most of the last 40 years or so. But interestingly, a couple of decades ago, Trinity had a need for somebody to do a bit of calculus for business students, and I had some business experience, so they asked me to do that. And it was terrific. I enjoyed that combination of things. And then a few years later, the same thing happened when they were starting a nursing program. They needed somebody to do statistics. So I did. I developed a course in statistics for nursing students. And I've taught some statistics for the last 15 years or so to undergraduates and graduates. So it's been a fascinating journey for myself. And I like all of these disciplines, and I like having a foot in more than one world. It makes it more interesting for me, and I've enjoyed it thoroughly, and I've appreciated the people who've given me a chance to do all that. So I've already complained in my first session about this whole business of juxtaposing science and Christianity. Like, science is an academic discipline, isn't it? And Christianity is a way of life. And this seems like kind of an apples and oranges kind of thing. Should we be doing this? I mean, is that the way to do it? Isn't there a better way to do science and Christianity, if that's our interest? And yet here I come with something even worse, so to speak, probability statistics, which are two mathematical disciplines, and then faith, which is a way of life. Right, so I've heightened the problem, if anything. So how could we possibly get at this these things? And over the years, I think my brain has been making some synapses, some connections there that I'd like to lay out for you and have you comment back if you would. So I think the way to start this is to ask if there's some kind of a substrate, something underneath these three things that might give us a clue as to how they might come together in our minds. And if you ask about faith, for example, and I'm going to be talking here about Abrahamic faith, not just faith as religion or something, but Abraham's faith, because that's the real exemplar of biblical faith. Abraham went out not knowing where he went. How about that? So that's what you do in traffic all the time, right? In a dark, rainy night and everything. You turn into that lane not really knowing if you're going to get there or if it's safe. You don't know what everybody else is going to do. And it's a risky, probabilistic situation. And the thing about it is that it's not just that you don't know what all those other people are going to do in the next 2 minutes or so, but it's that you can't know what they're going to do in the next 2 minutes or so. Because you're moving into something, you're moving into the future. And that's essentially what Abrahamic faith is, as far as I can tell, how to move into the future, how to act when you don't know everything. He went out not knowing where he was going, you know.
Interesting.
So probability, then, of course, is about exactly the same thing. It's about things that you don't know, and in particular that you can't know, right? So when you flip a coin, you can't know whether it's going to land heads or tails. You can quantify that lack of knowledge, so to speak, by saying, well, there's an equal chance it'll be heads or tails, but you can't know until it's history. When you're talking about the future, you can't know. So that sounds a little bit like Abraham's situation. And then, of course, with statistics, which, of course, is just built on probability, statistics tries to use probability to give us some better handles on the unknown or the unknowable, and to quantify it, and to answer the question, might there be enough evidence for us to move ahead? Even though there's not complete evidence, maybe there's enough for us to move ahead. So I think the substrate of these three crazy things is that they're all about uncertainty. They're about how to act or behave in a world of uncertainty. And it's not just that it's uncertainty because you don't know yet. It's uncertain because you can't know yet. You can't know till the future becomes the past, and then it's a different thing altogether.
Right.
So these three things are all about dealing with uncertainty. So let me just explore each of these in turn with a bit more, and then I hope we'll have some good discussion. So if you explore Abrahamic faith with this kind of thing in mind, here we find right off the top that faith is a matter of making. If you look at Hebrews 11, for example, it's the most intellectual book in the New Testament, apart from Romans, perhaps. But right off the top, faith is a way to make hope real, or to make something more, to make the future more substantial. It's about that transition from the future to the past. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen, and so on. To think that faith is that connected with evidence and assurance and substance is quite remarkable. But it's connected in just the same way as these things are in these two mathematical disciplines. So we don't have time to go into all the exegetical stuff, but let me point out a number of things about Abrahamic faith. First of all, it requires intellectual content. There's just no doubt about that. So the Greek word itself, pistis and pistuo, means being persuaded. It being sufficiently persuaded to act. Faith is not a thing that you hold to or that you adhere to. Faith is a way of acting in Hebrews 11 and certainly in the life of Abraham. There's this essential element of intelligent action. You don't have all the information you need, but perhaps you have enough information to go and do something. So associating faith with fact, history, action, substance, evidence is highly characteristic of biblical and Abrahamic faith. I'll just ring the changes on this a bit. In particular, we're told that Abraham sought a city. He was going into the future to seek something better. He was seeking a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And this reference to foundation is an unmistakable reference, I think, to the faulty foundations of the city he was leaving to Ur. Yeah, and the archaeologists of the 19th century have pointed out that this city was particularly faulty in its foundations. They had to be rebuilt every few years, and so on and so on. So that was empirical evidence for Abraham. This is not a good place to be. This is not a good place to have a family and a life that that might flourish. And so he sets out and sees a vision of something better, and he goes for it, even though he doesn't know exactly where he's going, even though there are inherent uncertainties in this situation. So Abrahamic faith requires some intellectual content. Secondly, Abrahamic faith is inescapably activist. It makes decisions, it does things, it makes things happen. It's about events, just like probability and statistics are about events. About a dozen and a half times in Hebrews 11, you've got this noun pistis in the instrumental case, and it's translated by the prepositional phrase in English, by faith. So Abraham did something by faith. That's how he did it. Other people did this by faith. That's how they did that. Other people did this by faith. It's a way of doing things. It's an activist thing. It's a way of doing things. So it is intellectual, but it's never purely intellectual. Just as Greek wisdom is largely a matter of intellectual content, let's say, while Hebrew wisdom is knowing what to do, so biblical faith is a matter of acting. We act in faith. We take steps of faith. We don't have pounds of faith or miles of faith. We take steps of faith. It's acting. Thirdly, Abrahamic faith is about the future and therefore has to deal with uncertainty. Anything active is necessarily futuristic, of course. Any step you take is a step into the future, even if only by a few microseconds. And this futuristic thing about faith is very, very prominent in Hebrews 11. The place he's going to, or the place he imagines, is a land of promise, a foreign land, a city with foundations, a place to go to live, a living in tents, a looking forward. For others too, in Hebrews 11, it's about things promised, a homeland sought, a better country, and so on. It's all projecting into the future. Having seen promises, greeted them from afar, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. It's all about reaching into the future and taking steps into the future. That's Abrahamic faith for you. So all of this language describes activity that is probabilistic in nature. And it represents faith as something that it doesn't take contingency of life away, but rather it moves into it in spite of what it is. It doesn't get rid of uncertainty, but it gives confidence to move into uncertainty and do something. I just have to give one more piece about Abrahamic faith, and that is that it doesn't support any great absolutist claims, unlike what some evangelicals claim. In other words, as Abraham moved out, this was an exploratory journey for him. He didn't know all the details. This is a 1,000-mile journey made in 1800 BC. There's a lot he doesn't know. This is exploratory. There is error that's possible. He had all kinds of circuitous side trips and hang-ups here and there and so on and so on. So to make any absolutist claim based on Abrahamic faith is not quite where it's at. So there's exploring Abrahamic faith. So it is about moving into
uncertainty and how to handle it. He went out not knowing where he's going. So let's explore probability and statistics then. Of course, many students and others just hate the kind of statement that is often made, the probability that the political party X will win is 70% plus or minus 3.5%, 19 times out of 20. What can that possibly mean? What could it possibly mean? It sounds awfully fuzzy. And of course, it does mean... What can it possibly mean? Well... It does have very clear meaning, but what I like to point out is that it's not statistics that's fuzzy, it's the world is trying to deal with that is fuzzy, like the world, your world in traffic, or your world of tomorrow, or even 5 minutes from now. That's what's fuzzy, and statistics is what nails that down, it gives us some tools, some handles by which to handle it. Of course, probability is the thing that gives the quantifies uncertainty some for us. So you think of a coin toss, it's 50-50. Okay, it is very important to notice that the calculation does not change the reality. Yes, it just quantifies the reality. It doesn't get rid of the uncertainty. The uncertainty is still there as to which way it's going to land. Right. But we've limited the uncertainty. I guess you could say the two possibilities is half this and half that. But the uncertainty remains. And so a probability is a way to help us deal with inevitable, inherent uncertainty, just like Abraham's journey. Let me quickly get to the statistics thing. There's two kinds of statistics. One is descriptive, and the other is inferential. So descriptive statistics is about the past, stuff that's already happened. So we could take the body temperature of everybody in the room, let's say, right now, and then go away and do some analysis of it, get averages and standard deviations and all that stuff, and then write a description of what it is in numerical form. But that would all be about the past. That's what it was when we did the test and study. That's descriptive statistics. So there's nothing inherently uncertain about that. But if you talk about inferential statistics, that's strictly about what's still to come, what might be, what we can project out there. So, for example, we could take our measurement of body temperature here and say, well, we're going to use that to project what it would be on the whole campus here. That's projecting into the future what things might be or could be. So, of course, there's lots of issues involved with that. But statistics has a way of deciding what is sufficient evidence for you to move. You can never take all the uncertainty out, but you can quantify the uncertainty, and you can create a measure that tells you whether you have sufficient evidence to treat these people with that medicine or to do this thing and that other thing. So I think these things all come together for me, at least, based on this whole notion of dealing with uncertainty. Especially the uncertainty of the future, you can't get rid of it. You have to deal with it. And so probabilities and statistics give us ways of quantifying that. And Abraham did what he could, looking at the foundations. Better foundations, must be better things to do, better places to go. And that was sufficient for him to move out into the unknown. There we go.
Thank you.
So let me get some feedback.
Lots of time for good questions.
Your separation of descriptive statistics and inferential. So I would also include in descriptive statistics can include future, maybe for example, climate projections, which are physical simulations, but you can represent them in a descriptive statistical manner. whether that's numerical or graphical. Does that?
Well, I think when we're doing inferential statistics, we're still describing things, but we're describing things that might be, right? We're describing things that might be. Whereas to me, a descriptive statistic is about things that have already happened. We've measured everybody in the sample, done the calculation, that's all in the past now, and here it is, and it's the truth. There's no inherent uncertainty.
But I think you can use descriptive statistics to describe things that might happen.
Well, I would call that inferential statistics, because you're making an inference, aren't you, about things that might happen. Where we use the descriptive, or we use the sample, to infer about the population, right?
Go ahead. What would you say to someone who asked you, what's the probability of Christianity being true?
Well, I would say it's high.
Do you want to know more? let's put it this way. Christianity and Judaism are based very much on historical evidence. Okay, historical evidence is empirical evidence. It's not something we can do in the lab and recreate and repeat, so it's not scientific in that sense. But in every other way, it's empirical evidence as much as anything ever is. So we have all kinds of documents, we have all kinds of events in the past, and so on and so on. And the origins of Christianity here is well documented as anything possibly could be in the first century.
Probably wouldn't be a bad term, because not good, or like numerical data. I'm just saying that it might not be like putting things properly together, like, not be the best way. Probably might not be the best way to describe faith or the uncertainty.
Well, I'm saying that the probability and faith have the same underlying substratum that they try to deal with uncertainty. Okay. Faith is not just a matter of assenting to certain historical facts, right? Faith is a matter of moving into the future based on your assessment of those facts, right? That's what Abrahamic faith is, I think. Moving into the future based on your assessment of historical facts.
Remember that Mother Teresa had periods of great doubt, and she struggled terribly with those times.
Good point. So, I mean, faith is about doubt and how to buttress that and how to move forward in spite of some doubters and in spite of not having full evidence about things. He went out not knowing where. They said, I'll give you that. Go ahead, sir.
I think you should be a little more careful about the way you describe descriptive statistics. Clearly, the example you give, I understand, but I can give you another example. For instance, we could say, well, based on our data, this is the 100-year flood.
Yeah.
Right? But the problem is the data set which we have is incomplete. And so even though you have a descriptive set of statistics, and you say that is an analysis of the descriptive set, it still is incomplete because the model which you have is inconsistent with the data that you have. So even though it's descriptive, it still has uncertainty and it may not be completely.
Oh, I see. You're going kind of, I think the opposite way through. You're saying that even descriptive statistics has some uncertainty in it.
Because they have an underlying model on which they're based. And so if it's a very simple case of throwing dice, then we understand the model, and the model is very good.
If
the system is, in fact, much more complex, double pendulums or whatever you like, suddenly we have statistics, but those statistics are incomplete because we can't represent the statistical nature of the system completely.
Yeah.
So there's uncertainty attached with that, and it gets muddy.
I still prefer to call it the inferential, but I appreciate the
you can use descriptive statistics to represent your inference.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, descriptive is about the sample. Inferential is about the population, as the way I see that. Yes.
So going off of Dennis's comment a little bit.
Yep.
Thinking like what you're saying is probably satisfactory to this group. But if I'm talking to somebody who really has no working with Christian faith, for me to say it's probable Christianity is real because there's this many records of blah, 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 doesn't really satisfy, especially for probably like a number country. So on that thought, do you know of any literature that kind of takes this empirical evidence that you talk about and applies this probability to it and says, what is the likeliness that we would have the universe, for example, without an intelligent designer or things like that?
Yeah. There certainly is literature that touches on that. I don't have right now, but I can probably point you to some.
Okay.
If you could tell me who you are. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much again.